Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers and
Carolyn Allen.
I was waiting for you to turn into a Charlene.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I figure, smart as you are, you should be able to do it.
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know. You guys are close.
Yep, we are.
You're wrapped up close together.
Yep, no doubt about it. But
anyway.
You're in there with it, too.
I know. I'm right there with it, huh?
Yep.
Well, a couple things I wanted to discuss today, if it was okay with you, Caroline.
Sure.
Actually, two things. I wanted to mention something that I received from a reading, and then something that Archangel Michael brought up in his conference call yesterday.
Okay.
I was trying to see where to start with this. I don't know if you've seen this much in your practice, Caroline, but I've seen situations where people have been struggling against the dark forces.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that you probably have been seeing some of that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And would like to talk a little bit about that because the cherubim gave me some interesting information. I had done a reading for someone who had a situation like that. And, well, Charlene talks about the blocking angels. You talk about different ways of protection. And this was a little different, and I thought I would mention this because I thought it was very fascinating. And what the cherubim suggested is, you know, we know about taking two triangles and spinning them in opposite directions. Some people call this configuration the Star of David, where you have, say, on the top a pyramid where the base of the pyramid is at the top, and then it comes down where the point of the pyramid would be on the bottom, and then one going from the bottom and overlapping that to form a Merkaba. Well, some people call that a star tetrahedron. So if you do a search, if you're not familiar with this configuration and you do a search for the star tetrahedron, this will come up right away. And fascinating, so it shows how to imagine the star tetrahedron over the physical body and how to spin one pyramid one way and the other pyramid the other way. And some people suggest this to form a Merkaba. Well, what the cherubim had suggested is to envision this configuration in crystal and to place it over the body every day, spinning each of the pyramid shapes in the opposite direction. And the explanation that they gave was when you have a spin going in two opposite directions, that the negative forces cannot step in between these two spinning objects. And I thought that was fascinating. I've been using it for a while, and they recommend that you do it over your property, over every member in the family, and it was like, here is another tool. Isn't that interesting, Caroline? Perhaps you've heard of this yourself.
Oh, I have, and I do it, but I realize that I haven't been doing it often enough.
Well, in this particular case, they suggest it once in the morning and once in the evening.
Okay.
I was on a conference call that we had set up with Archangel Michael, and one of the ladies during the meditation, because Archangel Michael does take us out into the cosmos when we go through this process. When she came back, she said she was hearing these sounds. Asked Archangel Michael what was the sound that she was hearing, and he gave a very interesting sideline. He said that presently there is a great struggle between the forces of darkness and his warrior angels, and that this struggle is a distance from Earth, that his angels were keeping them at bay. I thought that was fascinating, in the sense that the struggle is going on because of this great change that's happening in the world presently. I didn't know if you had any comments to make on that, Caroline, or if I should continue.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
I will make a comment, but I'll wait till you're through.
Well, I'm through with that aspect, if you want to make a comment on that, because I was going to change direction. That's why I asked you.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting that you would bring this up, because one of the things that I have been struggling with is some of my physical ailments, and not really quite being able to figure out why I have them.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling that they were the result of some negative forces. So when I was sitting here talking to Katsumi probably 30 or 45 minutes ago, I said, okay, I know there's something that we need to be doing here to protect ourselves from this kind of situation. And he told me to pick up my crystal pyramid, which I did. And then he said, now, what do you do with this? And I said, well, you can sit in it like a Merkaba. And he said, and why aren't you doing that? I said, okay. I do it every once in a while. He said, every day? I said, well, no, not every once in a while, every day. He's so precise about things, you know. So I was just like, okay, so I need to be doing this more often. And he said, yes, if you wish for your protection to be there, you really do need to be doing this more often, twice a day in at least. And I said, okie dokie then. So I was sitting here playing with mine when, and that's what I call it when I'm sitting there in it and watching it spin and trying not to be dizzy as I watch it spin. And I thought, interesting. And I thought, that's one of the things that I bet most of us aren't doing, is really using this form of not only protection, but it is also a tool to use in ascension.
Yes.
And I thought, interesting. I'll have to talk to him a little bit more about this and about how this should work, you know, in terms of timing and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a
he'll probably say, Caroline, it's more important to just do it.
Could be.
Yes, he's going to say, do it, my friend.
Mm-hmm. I love that picture of his energetic body. Do you still have that on your website?
Yes.
I love it, and I highly recommend to everybody that they print that out in fairly large size. And
well, what they do is they go to the website that is Conversations with Caesar.
Uh-huh.
You can either go to that directly or go through the portal at carolineevers.com, And when you get to that website, there's a place there that says important messages. And you click that. There's a fascinating story behind that, and some of it is on the website, how that picture came about. And that is Master Kasumi's healing energy body. And he said, see, you see this when you're working with him, but, you know, most people don't, Caroline. We're not aware of it. And Master Kasumi asked if a friend of mine would draw his picture that he had been waiting for a long time to bring this to humanity. And it is a friend of mine who can see into the next dimension, and he can do this artwork. We have a caller, and your name, caller?
This is Lila. I wanted to let you know there's interference on the line. Somebody is playing music very heavily in the background and is talking while you're talking, so it's difficult to hear. Could you please also repeat the exercise? I didn't hear the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Good enough, Lila. We will do that.
Thank you, honey. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think this is very important. It has come from several sources. Master Kasumi is discussing it, and the cherubim angels are discussing it. And I would suggest, if you're not familiar with this, that you draw this. And you can do a search on the internet and look up a star tetrahedron. It is two pyramid shapes. And the concept is to try and see this in three dimensions. So if you take the body and you take the base of one pyramid and put it over your head, and then the base of another pyramid at your feet, then the two points overlap in the center. And what you do is you spin one triangle in one direction, and now this is mentally, and then you mentally spin the other triangle in the opposite direction. Now, the reason that this works as protection is we are told that negative forces cannot move between these two opposite spinning configurations. And they are recommending, the cherubim in one of the readings to an individual suggests that you do this mentally, you form this configuration in crystal in your mind, over your property, over your physical body, and the other members in your family, and do this twice a day. And the reason is that the intenseness of a struggle between the forces of light and dark is accelerating. And for those who are able to move into the cosmos and do some journeying, some have reported that they are actually hearing the struggle between the dark forces and Archangel Michael's warrior angels. So this is a period of time that is becoming an intense period of time. And part of the reason is there is so much light now being expressed upon this planet. And those who wish to control it are working very hard to control it, and they realize that they are losing, and so they are putting forth even more of a struggle against and with those light workers whose light is shining so brightly in the etheric levels. So your light is shining brighter than ever, and this is being noticed, but you have this protection, so it would make sense to use it. Now, to the next thing I wanted to discuss, if it's okay with you, Caroline, is
certainly
Archangel Michael's conference call yesterday, and he worked. You would have loved it, Caroline. As he got into the work, I thought, oh, my, is this coming from your corner of the world? He discussed the new energies for the month of January, and he tells us that we are approaching the zenith of incoming energies from the Eye of Isis. And for those of you who are not familiar with his work, the Eye of Isis is an energy band that revolves around the entire cosmos. Now, it takes a very long time for this energy band or the work of the Eye of Isis to make a complete circle in the cosmos. So that the last time the Eye of Isis was here, the planet, our planet Earth, was just starting to cool, and souls were not living in human form at that time on the planet. The difference between the Eye of Isis and other energy that comes to Earth is Source, in the center of the cosmos, sends their energy along this band, and wherever it is directed, there is an intense spiritual evolution, and that is what's happening on Earth. Source's energy is coming directly to Earth instead of having to be, you might say, going through separate gateways. Ordinarily, Source's love, Source's energy, has to come through many gateways before it comes to the planet. It is only through the Eye of Isis that it can come directly. It is the reason why we are on the cusp of this incredibly marvelous, wonderful, spiritual enlightenment here on the planet. And so Archangel Michael says we are approaching the incoming energies from the Eye of Isis. Now, where the energy came from this time around is there were two constellations that, you might say, collided with one another and created a supernova. Our scientists discovered it in 1987. Therefore, it's called Supernova 1987A. The incredible thing about it is these two constellations collided 200,000 years ago, and it took 200,000 years for this energy to reach Earth and to, you might say, move to work with the Eye of Isis. I looked up the history of Earth. I was just so fascinated by this, Caroline. 200,000 years ago is the time when Homo sapiens was coming full-fledged into the Earth. And so this was all planned from the moment Homo sapiens entered the Earth that we have this energy here now for our great enlightenment. Isn't that remarkable?
That is. Absolutely.
I just love God's planning.
So do I.
And so he had a long, not too long a message, but an interesting message. So for the month, this energy is working on the emotional body that is contained in the etheric body. And so there's a lot of things coming up out of the emotions that concerned with flight and fight responses, anger and control. If we look at the history of our planet, how much hatred has been involved through all of the different centuries. And so this is the time that all of these negative things must be released from our DNA patterns. And I chuckle over this, Caroline, because this is what you work with all the time. I was really thinking about you when Archangel Michael was going through this, because this was the work that he did yesterday, releasing these patterns from those who were on the conference call, plus all of their ancestors. And you know how you see these events where the change drop that's holding back all of the ancestors. I know you see this.
Yes, I do.
It is so remarkable, isn't it? Because
it is.
This is what we were seeing yesterday.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. All of these ancestors were lined up, and they were in such joy to be rid of all of these negative emotions. And we could see where some of these individuals were being held back, not going to the light, and we could see them going into the light. And the fascinating thing is that some of the people who were on the conference calls, it was their own past lifetimes that they were viewing.
Great. That's super.
It was. So, you know, like I said, I was thinking about you because you do this all the time, working with the DNA and releasing these things from the individuals and, you know, from past life history. So, darling, this is the time.
Well, that's really something.
It truly is.
And, you know, I was asking God last night, why is it that those of us who are light workers and have been for some time are struggling so right now? And he told me, and I was a little perturbed with him.
Uh-oh.
And he told me not to take it personally. And I said, really? Well, it's affecting my personal physical body. And he said, well, don't take this as just you. And I said, well, I'm not, because I know other light workers who I work with who are having physical or emotional, or they're having some struggles right now with one or the other of their bodies. And I said, I have to admit that it's difficult for us to work under these circumstances, because we do suffer the pain. And he said, this is not supposed to be about suffering. And I said, okay. So what's up?
I'm suffering. What message did I get that was wrong?
I know, exactly. And he said, well, this is more about the fact that light workers in general and as a whole are under attack, not just here, but in other parts of the cosmos, because of the fact that the dark is feeling the pain of their losing the battle.
And or feeling that they're losing a battle.
Or feeling that they're losing the battle. And so they are fighting so much harder to try to stop this, to keep people from choosing the light. And to affect those of you who've chosen the light by bringing up things that are fearful or that are painful, so that you will sort of back down from your position in the light. And I thought, well, now that's very interesting, because I have no intention of turning around, going backwards, or even stepping backwards. You know, there's not any way that I'm going in that direction. I'm sure most other light workers aren't either. And he said, no, those of you who are practiced in this business of this progression of being a light worker and moving into higher dimensions are definitely going to go there, he said. But, you know, you're sort of standing in the way of some other ambitions from the other side, and that's what's causing a lot of what's going on right now. So I came away from that a little less personally irritated, I guess is a good word for it, about some of the things that are going on with the people that call me, and you know, with some of my personal struggles, I was just kind of like, okay, you know, if I can view it as a way to help in our progress as light workers, then it's a different matter. You know, I'm willing to take the lumps if I have to take the lumps, in order for other people not to have to take them, or for me to be able to explain to other people what's going on. One or the other.
If some of our conversation is being heard by those listening to us, and you have some stories along these lines that you want to share, give us a call at BBS Radio. The toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Call us if you have a story that you want to share that somehow illustrates what we're talking about, or if you wish to call in for a healing of some sort. Caroline is here and willing to help. And if you have a question that you want me to take to your Akashic Records in the center of the cosmos, I'm sorry, I was distracted. I see the cherubim standing there.
Yes, it looks to me like they're interested in saying something on this.
The one that is attracting my attention is holding a record. She said not to explain it later. Okay. I wanted to explain how these records work for those new people who might be tuned in. And she's opening up this record. She's giving me permission to tell you about the cover. The cover on the record is brown, which means that the souls who were created by God under with a strong conviction of displaying love in their life have a brown cover on their records, and this is what she is opening. And it's not an individual record. The record that she is holding there and interested in sharing some information with you from is coming from a group record, and it is the group record of that group of souls that were created under the pink ray of love. And what she is showing me is many of the light workers here today are individuals who were created under this ray of love, and it is because they love God's works, they love God's word, they love God's creations on every level, and she is speaking directly to that group. Caller, we're aware that you're there. Just hold for a minute, and let me finish with what the cherubim are telling us. If you'd be kind enough just to be patient. And so what she is saying is this particular group of souls who are here in this time and place are here to work with this planet and bringing the planet back in alignment to Source's love. We're calling it the ascension process. She is saying that this is just the beginning of a very long process. This particular group of souls are being led by cherubim who left Source in the center of the cosmos to come here under the request of that soul that we know of as Yeshua. It was the first soul created. They called him the Savior. And this particular group is devoted to Yeshua, working with the ascension process. They have a mark, in a sense, that is upon their soul that that others can see. It is a formation in light. And she is showing me the mark that is on these individual souls. I cannot describe it. It is a Hebrew, what would appear to me to be a Hebrew sign, and I don't know how to read that other than she is telling me that the meaning of it is the beginning and the end. And so they started at the beginning of this time. They are here at the ending of this time. And these are the ones in particular who are feeling the brunt of the struggle between the light and the dark. And that is the reason behind this. Those particular souls who are in this struggle have a direct commitment to that soul that we knew of 2,000 years ago as Yeshua, though that was not the name of the soul when that soul was created. That was a portion of that soul. But nevertheless, there is this very strong commitment, and that commitment is understood on the other side. And she's closing the book, putting it away, and she says, we can talk later about how these records are contained in the Akashic Records. Thank you for being patient, caller. Your name, please.
Yeah, my name is Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Hi there. How is it going?
Best way we know how, Kai. What can we do for you? Was there something that we said that triggered a response, or are you going to talk about something new?
No, I actually wanted to go back and on your conversation with entering the, for the month of January, entering into the Eye of Isis. Because I, this month of January for myself has been extremely powerful in the sense that I've recently quit a known job that I've been doing for a number of years. So I've been getting out of my comfort zone and been focusing more on spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
And in so doing, it's been very, I would say, a very rocky road. And I'm in a transition point where I'm in one area. I live in Oregon, but I do have the opportunity to move to Denver, Colorado. And just when I recently took a trip to Colorado, there's been a lot of energy there that has been telling me to go back to the old paradigm of living, which is kind of the idea of, you know, working and making money and just focusing in on the material aspect.
And this was in Colorado?
Pardon me?
You said this was in Denver?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we have a lot of family out there, and obviously, you know, that's kind of pulling us in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
However, the energy doesn't seem like it's there for me, to, you know, travel the path. However, if I look at it like, well, maybe my assistance is needed there, then maybe I can look at it that way. But just overall, it's been very confusing emotionally in the month of January, and it sparked that from when you said that entering the Eye of Isis. So I didn't know if that had anything to do with it, or the idea of the, you guys talk about negative, positive energies. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, dealing with being a light worker and whatnot. So
I'm going to say something to you, Kai, and then we'll turn it over and see what Caroline's take is on it. First of all, I would like to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Even though this may seem like a time of turmoil for you, you've
mm-hmm.
made a very big change in your life. You've gone from a point where you were situated in a job that was bringing in the income. It was a known commodity in the sense that you were doing this job. It was bringing in the income, and it was, I'm sure, helping you to prosper. But there was something about that that you knew you had to make a change. Am I on the right path with this?
Well, absolutely. The job alone was just degrading towards my spiritual growth, and
mm-hmm.
as I became more aware, it just became very obvious that I had to discontinue
mm-hmm.
Because it just wasn't good for my soul.
This is happening to a lot of people right now,
mm-hmm.
and as you go through this, there's a lot of turbulence. Turbulence meaning things from the old way are, in a sense, dying. In other words, you're not identifying yourself with the person that you were. You probably have had to make adjustments where income is concerned. In other words, what worked in the past now, you need to find a new method. And that's the kind of turbulence that I'm referring to. In
right.
other words, things are coming up in your life. You're making choices. And in those choices, there's a lot of emotional elements there. You know, you don't usually go from point A to point B with, especially when the changes are so drastic, in great bliss.
Yeah, that's the truth.
There's a struggle of some sort, but it doesn't mean that you don't have the guidance, because I would venture to say, not knowing anything about you, is that your soul has been prompting you to step up to the mission that you decided to take before you came into this lifetime. So I don't think we need to discuss the rightness or wrongness of the choice that you made, because it sounds to me, Kai, like in your mind you realize that this is the right choice. It seems to me that where the, for lack of a better word, the confusion or trying to work this through is where you're going to move. And
mm-hmm.
from what you're telling me, you have family ties that is attracting you to the Denver area, but in going there, you're not comfortable with the energy that you're feeling there. Is that kind of looking at this in the right manner?
Correct. Well, in the massive confusion, I've been more attracted to a smaller town with less people that way, because I noticed instantly as I recently took a trip to Denver that it's a big challenge for, maybe it's needed, maybe it's a test for me, but I just feel that there's a little bit more negative energy there, and I have to deal with my inner side to understand and be patient with that type of energy versus what I'm used to in a smaller town where it's just kind of more, the consciousness is more open versus a bigger city where you have to deal with all types of conscious levels of human individuals. But again, it's, I think I'm just going to need to go with the flow here. But I just
the smaller town, Kai, how far away is it from your family?
It's on my wife's side, and
about 10 miles, 20 miles? Are we talking about an area where it would be easy enough to commute back and forth and visit with family?
Possibly, yeah, I'm looking into that aspect. It's a big city, so I'm thinking about probably just going on the outskirts to live, and then, her side of the family we can always visit, which would probably just be a 30 to 45 minute commute, which wouldn't be a problem.
I have more to say, Kai, but I'm going to turn this over to Caroline and see what she has to say about this. Caroline, do you have some input for Kai?
Yes, I do. I think when something like what you're feeling comes
mm-hmm.
up, you need to listen to what you're feeling.
Okay.
If you're feeling that this is not the right place to be in Denver, then look for another place.
Okay.
Because one of the things that you really need to pay attention to is to your own discernment about what the energy is and whether this is going to be the correct decision. And if you feel like it's not, then go with what your instincts, your gut is telling you.
Okay.
And look at a different situation. It may be that there's some place, you know, within commuting distance that would feel better to you. There are also some places around Denver that would feel very negative to you, and so you need to sort of figure out by going to those places whether the feeling that you're looking for is there or not.
Okay. We'll
do that.
It
doesn't really matter whether it's small or medium size.
Right, that's true.
Or large, but if where you went before is giving you a sense of this is not what I'm looking for, then you need to go with that. Because my experience in working with God is that he's going to put you in the situation where he can best use your talents and you can best use your talents.
Okay.
It's going to be a win-win situation for all of you, not a situation where you're feeling uncomfortable. That's your first clue that that's not the place to be.
Right, right.
Ty,
okay.
I sense that what's happening here with you is your powers of intuition are really opening. How do you feel about that?
I feel really strong about that because you guys mentioned the star tetrahedron earlier, which brings me to my earlier studies of the Merkaba, and I've done that through the Flower of Life workshop,
yeah.
Drumbelow Melchizedek.
I'm familiar. Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of homework to do on a daily basis, so I'm kind of sporadic about, you know, doing the same meditation for the, for whatever purpose, but as I recently started it up again, it kind of, let's just say I took a year break and now starting it up just past November, I think the due to the shift and change in time and awareness, it just kind of awoken up, you know, something deeper and more powerful. So this change that I've recently had was as a direct result of just everything that's been happening. So like you said, the my awareness, intuition has been more prevalent, even with my whole family. I've noticed it more with my wife too. We've just been more on the understanding psychic abilities and kind of reading each other's thoughts and minds. It's kind of fun. I like it, and just trying to help out others that need to awake as well. That would include my family. I know my family and her family are definitely needing some of that help. So maybe that's part of my journey to their state where they live.
Well, I would suspect that when you started work with Drunvello, and then you stopped, what you learned there was going through an incubation period. And it was awakening certain things in your soul memory. And these new energies that have been coming now is triggering this again to come forth. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that perhaps you and your wife are going to be working on a spiritual mission together?
I would like to think so. I mean, my goal now is just to focus primarily on that. I know that's a big... It's in my cell memory for sure because it calls every day. And to include my family is very important to me because I do not want to do this mission on my own, just out of selfless reasons. And just, you know, what I've seen in the past with other people trying to do the spiritual journey, it seems like maybe a relationship, but we're soul companions, so I think that we will be
able
to.
You believe you're soul companions?
Pardon me?
Did you say you believe that you were soul companions?
Correct. And so I think, yes.
Yeah, I was seeing the two of you standing there. It's interesting that you say that. The reason that I asked is I saw the two of you standing there with the figure eight between the two of you. You're joined at the hip, so to speak.
I'm sorry. Well,
you're
that.
Joined at the hip, so to speak. You know what I mean by that?
Oh,
you know
yeah.
that phrase, joined at the hip?
Yeah, we do everything in unison, pretty much. Anything she does.
Yeah, I see you two joined. I see the figure eight around you. I think you have a brilliant spiritual future for the two of you. You're just starting to awaken. You're going to be walking on a path that is going to be bring you great happiness. And I think Caroline is right in the sense that follow your budding intuition. I don't think you can go wrong by going within. And are you meditating every day, Kai?
That is a challenge for me. I'm a busy, scheduled person. Sometimes I get distracted, and you know, meditation is in my forecast. I, you know, as far as so many meditations to choose from, such as the Merkaba activation.
Might I suggest that you sound like a scheduled person? Might I suggest that you pencil in your schedule time for meditation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean it's.
Pencil in so that you actually make a time for meditation. You'll know when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
What you really need now is to make this connection with God, to feel God's energy, and to be walking in that. I think all these pieces will fall into place. However, Caroline, do you care to discuss with Kai a little bit about the different levels of consciousness, the alpha and the theta? Do you think that's appropriate now?
Well, what I was really being pointed towards was to really bring up with him that there is no particular meditation that you need to do. What you need to do is learn to quiet your mind so that the information that you need will come directly to you from God. And maybe this is a point to say that prayer is when you talk to God. Meditation is when you are quiet and you allow him to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you listen to what he or she says. And that, for a lot of people, is very difficult. There are many different ways of reaching a quiet point where you can have meditation time truly. And you'll have to experiment with those things to see what works. But as the Buddhists say, if you view your body, your mind, as an empty rice bowl, then the universe can fill it up. But if you fill it up, then the universe can't come in and fill up your rice bowl, or God cannot come in and actually talk to you if you've got it full all the time. So sounds to me like you have gotten there sometimes, but you're not getting there all the time. Is that correct?
Yeah. it's definitely a, I wouldn't say a struggle, but it's more of a challenge or a goal for me to achieve a point of God realization like that. And maybe it's just due to, it's all timing for me too. I know that I've been focusing more on my heart center, just trying to open that up. And in doing so, it's everything's just kind of coming together. Like you said, meditation is there as a tool, but if need to meditate on an as need basis. And again, it's just the understanding of everything is as God and one, and realizing that in every aspect of my life. And that's just kind of the tool that I am using now.
Kai, all of us as human beings come across information in different ways. Some of us come across our information through feeling, seeing, or hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you discovered which way you come about your most intimate information?
Is feeling.
It, what did you say?
Feeling.
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 Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a clairaudient or clairvoyant or any of that, so I just kind of mm-hmm. feel, although I wish I could.
Well, you can do that too.
It's well, in dreams, I get a lot of clairvoyant dreams.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a lot of information through my dreams. So just, you know, a lot of stuff, just information that probably could go on for hours.
Do you write down the information that you get in your dreams?
I'm starting to do that now. I know that's very important. So I've been, I you know, have a diary now, so I've been trying to keep track of, you know, the information that I'm receiving, so that way it makes sense to me later.
Well, you know what you might do, since we have found a little opening here, mm-hmm. Kai, before you go to bed, plant a suggestion as, you are relaxing, that you want to have a dream about this future move, and you want to look at God's guidance as far as where would be a place to move that would support your mission and support your spiritual growth and your wife's spiritual growth. And then write down those dreams.
Will do, yeah.
Sometimes it takes three dreams to get the whole answer. That's why it's important to write these down.
Okay, I will do.
So make a little list of the questions that you would like answered, since you realize that a lot of your intuitive nature is coming out in dreams. Write
mm-hmm.
a little list of the sort of questions that you want answers to, and plant that thought in your subconscious that you're going to dream what is best for you.
Okay.
This is the opening stages, Kai. The masters have told me that dreams are the back door of our consciousness. We're not facing these things through the front door. And, you know, sometimes we feel like perhaps we're not worthy enough, we're not gifted enough. And so having a dream is something that everybody does, and it's a lot easier to dream about things. You can do this in the beginning, but I believe that you have strong enough spiritual powers that you could actually get this information in the meditative state through your consciousness. But start with your unconscious, the dream state, and plan to move on from there, because
okay.
you have a strong psychic ability that is awakening, and I think you have a very important mission also, Kai.
Okay, appreciate that. Yeah, you guys have been great help, and this is the first time I've been listened to your show, just to let you know. So
We're on board here every other Saturday for 2 hours, but I have a Sunday show, and then that's the message. And every Wednesday, I have a show with Charlene, who works very similar as Caroline does, and we're on every Wednesday evening at Cosmic Connections. So if you want to call back, you have some other things that you want to discuss, we'd be glad to chat with you about that.
Well, you guys have been great. It seems like we're all on this together, so.
Yes, we are.
So regardless, yeah, I think it's just a little encouragement. It was great encouragement for me to talk to you both and get that feeding. So, you know, many blessings.
Call back again, Kai. I don't think it's the time now for you to know about your mission. Later down, because I really think you've got to work with a little bit on opening up yourself and becoming more self-empowered with your own abilities. But later on, after you work with this, you want to know a little bit about your mission, we will go to the Akashic Records and get that information for you.
Yeah, great. And yeah, that's something I've always been interested in. And so, yeah, so if I can give you guys a call back sometime
in the
future.
Yeah, do that, because I think this is the time for you. This is what is happening. You're moving from one area to another to become ready to start your spiritual mission.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm looking forward to it. So I'm pretty happy, and a lot of new information and excitement. So
it is wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very exciting and very innovative, and you know, just look forward to every day and every new moment. So it's just great.
Well, bless you, Kai.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye bye now.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Caroline, why don't you give people your private phone number in case people want to call you for a private reading or private work?
Okay, my phone number is 540-586-2401. I'm on the East Coast, and I work from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Why did my mind go blank on to Friday? I don't know.
I'm so glad you added that. You knew I was going to ask you about that.
I know. And why don't you give your website?
Yes, thank you, Caroline. It's www.carolyn, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, EVERS.com. There's a lot of information there. You can order a personal reading from your Akashic Records in the center of the cosmos. These records are held in care by the cherubim. And so I send people a written report of answers to your questions, and then I also make a voice CD, which I send out to you after we do the reading. And this is marvelous because people can play it whenever they want to in their computer. We also do conference calls with the masters. As you heard yesterday, we had a conference call with Archangel Michael. And later in the month, we are scheduled with Yeshua, who's, trust me when I say, these two, when they do a conference, there is always excitement afoot, and they have a great sense of humor. Yeshua's conference is on January the 31st, which is a Thursday, and these are two individuals who will just, how shall I say this, snatch your heart away.
That's
well,
awesome.
You work a lot with Archangel Michael and Yeshua also, Caroline. I know that you do.
Oh, I do. I do. I do most of my work with Archangel Michael during sleep time and meditation time. I'm one of the warrior band of angels. And I know pretty much about what's going on there and about how much work is being done. So that part that you were talking about really resonated with me, because I, since I was a little girl, have understood that I was a, used to sing, I'm a warrior in the army of the Lord. When I was probably 3 and 4 years old, my parents would look at me and go, what in the world is she talking about? And I just, I've always known that, but I've also always known for a long time I knew it as a battle between good and evil. I don't view it that way anymore, but I've seen that written so often that I would view it that way. So that's kind of interesting. And Jesus works with me a lot, or Yeshua works with me a lot in my healing work. He very often comes in and is with me when I'm doing the healing work, or is with the client that I'm working with, or both. So, yes, I do. And
we don't have a caller right now calling in, Caroline, and the thought occurred to me when you were talking about Archangel Michael. I know we have mentioned this before, but it was a long time ago. Do you care to explain how you worked with Archangel Michael to set up the portal in your house?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to bring that up. I've seen spirits for a long time and didn't really realize what I was seeing. And when I was going through my real sharp curve as far as learning on the spiritual path was concerned, I was doing some work with Archangel Michael. And one night after I had done some of the work with him, I came upstairs. I live in a two-story house to get ready for bed and go to bed. And I came out of the bathroom in my pajamas, and here stood this figure in front of me, and I was like, okie dokie, who are you? I don't recognize you. And I started seeing this figure, and it was a man, and I started seeing him fairly often in the house. And so finally, after two or three days of this, I asked Archangel Michael to come and explain to me what was going on here. And he said, well, he is what some people would call a ghost, and he is ready to go to the light, and you can take him there. I said, excuse me, me? Can I take him to the light? And he said, yes. He said, you need to decide where you want to put your porthole. And then he just kind of laughed, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I had been doing the Simple Abundance journal where you write down 5, and I always wrote down 10 and sometimes 2 pages of things I was thankful for in each day. And I had gotten to this point after a couple of years of doing this that one day when I was writing it, I got this picture of a porthole. And so I drew this porthole and the frame around it, and I kept thinking, what is this? Why am I drawing a porthole? Well, I kept getting this picture, and I would see it a little bit differently the next time and so forth. So when Michael said to me, when he kind of laughed, when he said it's time to decide where you want your porthole, I went, what? He said, it's actually your portal. And I went, oh. And I thought, gee, I've learned several things here today. Number one, sometimes we misunderstand what they say. And number two, I'm going to have a portal. So I said, so what do you do with a portal? And he said, well, you can open the portal so that beings who are ready to go to the light can go through it and go to the light. And I went, oh. I said, oh, that's so awesome. So then he suggested where I might be interested in putting the portal. And so he said, you know, come on upstairs, and we're going to do that right now. So I went into the room that I had chosen, and I really knelt down on the floor. I felt so in awe and so blessed and so almost, it was really almost like I was feeling like I really shouldn't be doing something like that. And you know, he came over and took my hand and got me to stand up and said, no, this is something you have been doing for a long, long, long time, and you were not aware of it because you were doing it in your sleep. Now's the time for you to start doing it when you are aware of what you're doing. So he basically put in the portal for me, and then he told me that he was giving me a guardian for the portal, one that would open and close it whenever it was needed. And he said, now, take your incense and go throughout the house and come up here to the portal. So I did, and to my astonishment, I had five spirits that came with the frankincense and sage that I was burning. They came in front of me and came into the room, and so then I sat down in a chair in the room and said, okay, now what do I do? And he said, ask your guardian to open the portal and explain to these spirits what they need to do. And I said, well, that would be nice, but I don't know what they need to do. So then he said, okay, call their guardian angels to come. So I did. And their angels came and stood beside them. And then he said, now tell them to look from right to left so they see their angels. So I did, and they all looked and they saw their angels. And he said, now explain to them that it's time for them to go to the light and that they will, that God loves them and he will be delighted to have them return and not to be fearful. They have their angels with them, and they are just to walk into the portal and go through to the light. So then I did that, and they all started talking to each other. And I was like, oh, dear, they're not paying any attention here. They're busy talking to each other. So I just clapped my hands like I used to do when I was a school teacher and said, pay attention here. I want to thank you. I choose to thank you for staying here for whatever reason you chose to stay, and for being part of our life on the earth. And now it's time for you to go to your families. Your families are waiting for you, and so is God. So they turned and walked, each one of them, with their angels through the portal that time. And it was kind of interesting. Caller, I do hear you, and we will get to you in just a minute. And they all turned around and waved goodbye to me and said, it's so beautiful here, and it's so loving. Thank you, thank you. And I was sitting there with tears just running down my face. I was just so delighted to be able to do that and be aware of what I was doing.
And that's wonderful.
And then, you know, Archangel Michael told me to ask the guardian to close the portal. So he did, and I've been doing that ever since. That's one of my jobs.
Well, we have a caller, and your name,
yes.
Caller. Hi, Carolyn. This is Jean. Hi, Caroline.
Hi,
Jean.
How are you?
Hi. I just had a problem with my stomach and my knee, and I just wondered if you could do any healing on it.
And what sort of problem did you have with your knees?
I've been having pain in my left kneecap.
Mm-hmm.
And my stomach, I've just been having pain in my stomach.
Okay. Now, to start with, let me tell you that with these changes in the energy, you're going to see that there are some things that you could eat last month that you can't eat this month. Some things that you could eat today that you won't be able to eat tomorrow. So you need to ask if what you're eating is appropriate for you today or at this meal, and make sure that you bless your food before you eat it, and in whatever way you choose to bless it. And understand that most of us are going through this right now. It's I have to remind myself. I still have not made a habit of it, but I have to remind myself at breakfast every morning. I'm not a morning person, so I'm not thinking real clearly in the mornings, and I'll go, okay, now, did I ask if this was appropriate to eat? And, you know, sometimes I put something back in the refrigerator or back on the shelf in the pantry because it has not been appropriate to eat. I'll go in and make sure that there's not anything major going on, but I do know that a lot of us are going through a time as our bodies are changing that we must change and be aware that we can't just kind of make a habit of eating grape nuts every morning. We need to maybe look beyond what our normal meal might be. We might not get if we muscle test or if we ask God that that's an appropriate thing to eat today. So you need to be very cautious and much more aware of what you're putting in your body at every meal. Okay?
Okay.
Didn't mean to get into a lecture there, but I've discovered that in the last 3 months that I've got to be very cautious that something I ate even yesterday may not be appropriate today.
That makes sense, because some things that I eat, my stomach just starts turning, and
I gather you're suggesting, Caroline, that this is the basis for Jean's problem right now?
Mm-hmm. It is. Jean's a light worker. And there are a lot of people who aren't light workers who are going through this and are going to the doctor. You don't really need to do that. What you really need to do is go. And I have been keeping a food journal, and I highly recommend it. If something seems to be turning up my stomach or my intestines, I write it down. And I noticed that that was really not working. It may have worked last week, but it's not working this week. So it doesn't mean that you might not be able to go back to eating something that you didn't eat a couple of weeks ago, or something that you did and you haven't eaten for 2 weeks. But you just really need to test things and to ask, is this an appropriate food to put into my body at this meal? And it will make a huge difference in the way your intestinal system is working. And how it feels.
Okay, great. And you know, that's probably because our bodies are going through so many changes right now.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. The cells are changing their shape and their configuration. And so, and that is not just the cells in your tissues, but also the cells in your organs. And so you got to be a whole lot more cautious about what you're putting in there, or maybe not cautious, because it's not that the food is poisonous or any of that sort of stuff, but it may be going to upset your stomach to do that today.
Okay. Is that what's causing my knee to hurt too?
No, that's not what's causing your knee to hurt. That is what's going on with your abdominal system. I don't see anything in there that would be, a major concern.
Okay.
Okay, your knee. And what did you do to hurt your knee?
I don't think I did anything different on it other than gaining weight.
Well, I was sort of getting that you, maybe stepped in a hole or off of a sidewalk with that knee, and so you shifted the weight enough to cause it some pain.
Do you remember something like that, Jeannie?
No, not really, but I take care of my grandson during the week, and sometimes he gets pretty rambunctious. I could have twisted or something playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Can you stretch your leg out in front of you on a stool or something?
Yes.
Okay. So we can go in there and move that tissue back into place.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. It's God doing the work, not me.
Thank God.
As my grandson says, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you put any ice or heat on it at all?
I haven't today.
Okay. Well, if you can put ice on it, that'll sort of calm the... it's like it calms the muscles and the nerves, and then you alternate. 20 minutes later, you can put heat on it, which will relax the muscles.
Okay.
And the nerves. So you alternate a couple of times a day. And this could be fine in a day.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Before you go, Jeannie, I want to ask Caroline something.
Okay.
You know, we've talked a lot, Caroline, about the consciousness of the cells.
Mm-hmm.
When a person has a situation like this where they have pulled something or maybe, you know, twisted an ankle, would you advise or suggest that perhaps it would also be a good idea to send love to the affected parts and tell them that it was an accident, didn't intend to hurt them?
Sure. I do that without... That's become such a part of my regimen that if I, like for instance, if I'm cooking and I touch the hot pot, I put the other hand over that place and tell the cells that I apologize. I certainly did not mean to do that. I was turning around answering a question or whatever. It was not something that I intended to do, and there's no need for them to rush blood to the area or to do any counteraction, that they're going to be fine. And then I don't ever get a blister or anything like that.
Should I do that during my meditation, or should I just
do
that?
No, I do it when it first happens.
Okay.
Right. And going one step further, I discovered when I had my surgery that you really need to talk to your body and tell it what is getting ready to happen if you're getting ready to go into surgery. Because if you tell the cells they're going to do this or that or whatever they're going to do before it's done, they don't go into shock and panic.
Okay.
And so you tend to recover more quickly from a surgery if you do something like that than you would otherwise. And you know, you explain to them pretty clearly what's going to happen. I did that when I had cataract surgery this fall. I went and explained to my eye exactly what was going to happen from the time I got in there and was prepped for surgery and was given a sedative and the numbing drops in my eyes. I went through and explained the entire process to my eye so that it would understand what was going on when it happened, you know. And I would say mentally, when I was lying on the stretcher before they take you into surgery, now, do you understand? Is there anything that you have a question about? And if I got a thought about a question, I would answer the question. mentally so that my eye, really the cells in my eye, understood what was going to happen. And the doctor was amazed at my progress. Absolutely amazed.
That makes sense.
Went. And so I really highly recommend doing that. The more you talk to your body, and not just send it love, you need to do that too, but you need to explain to it what's going on. If you explain to it what's going on and say, you know, you don't need to get all upset and go in this direction, because this is something that, you know, we choose to have working properly, then
yes,
it will really do that. But if you put your hands on your knee and explain that this was an accident and that it's now back in place, and you do have to ask the muscles to relax. Muscles are a little bit macho, and they definitely want you to explain to them what's going on. They want to know why you want them to move back into place. And then you have to say, please.
Okay.
And then you say, thank you. When you've done it, say, thank you, thank you.
What are they, male muscles?
I know. They do have that kind of, they do have that feeling about them. I don't know that I would personally call them male, but they
I was teasing.
Well, you know, they definitely have that three. What do you want me to do this for? Explain,
yes,
please. You know, and then you have to assure them that they're going to function better when they go back into place, so that they go back into place willingly and stay there.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Jean.
God.
Yeah, bless you, Jean. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We have a half an hour yet. So tell me that an hour and a half doesn't go by fast when you're having fun.
It does, absolutely.
So, folks, if you want to call, our toll-free number here is 877-876-5227. And we really have had a wide range of topics today.
Haven't we? But that's usually the case. Unless,
I think so.
Unless we're really, you know, both of us have gotten a message to go in a particular direction, then sometimes that does work out, and we go in a particular direction. But
I wanted to discuss something before someone called, Caroline.
Okay.
We were talking about the consciousness that cells hold.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I've been doing, and I feel that it has been very helpful. You know, if you watch the news or if you watch television at all, you see all these commercials, or even if you're reading an article on the internet about heart problems, about cholesterol problems, on and on about all the different drugs you should be taking. Whenever something like that crosses my consciousness, I've been telling my body that that does not apply to them.
That's fine.
This has nothing to do with us. It's the other people who are interested in this.
You know what I do? I just laugh at them and go, aren't they silly on TV? You know, it's the same sort of thing. You're saying this is not something that I need to do. This is not a place I need to be. So I think that's a good idea. I really have gotten, and you probably have too, to the point where I almost cannot watch violence on TV.
Oh, no,
I can't
either.
Listen to it.
Uh-uh.
And so I never, my husband used to drive me crazy with a TV remote. I sit with a thing in my hand, and I switch channels if they even open their mouths to start to talk about anything like that. I'm I'm out of there. I'm just going to switch over to the Cartoon Network or something, or Disney.
Well, you know what we're really talking about is we are the masters of the path that we wish to take with regards to, yes, our spiritual growth, but our physical comfort, the choices that we wish to make for our future. You know, we are the master of the ship, so to speak.
Right.
We're going to decide what course we want to take. We're not going to allow the winds of change to buffet us in whatever direction they want to send us. And we're strong enough to stand up in the midst of any storm and decide what our lives are going to be.
What they're going to be filled with.
Yes, what it needs to be filled with. And I think it's very important to take that attitude, because if you have that attitude, you don't have the apprehension that one might feel when they are given the news as to what's on the horizon in the country and anything that is negative or foreboding. We don't have to go there.
No, we don't. And I know some people say, oh, that's Pollyanna, but that's not the kind of stuff that I choose to put in my life. Now, if I can go into a situation and send love and light to a family, or you know, to somebody who's going to benefit from the love and light in particular, then I'm going to do that. That's my response to the kinds of things that you inadvertently find out about or see or whatever. I think, oh, I saw that because I need to go in there. And, you know, I may need to send love and light to the person who was killed and their family, and to the person actually who killed them. You know, just surround them with God's love and light, and let God handle that and send them whatever.
I think that's very, that is a wonderful thing to do. I do it too. I'd also like to suggest, as we're doing that, to send healing to the earth also.
Oh, yeah. Yes. As our friend Rosemary says, we have to pay the rent.
Well, there's so many places in the world that is under turmoil right now. And I think, like you said, if you have read an article about it, you have become aware of it in some fashion, there's a good chance that we have been made aware of it, so that we can take or make the choice of sending some kind of healing energy that way, whichever way you choose. You know, some people will use the purple flame.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our different practices that we use, following different masters who suggest these wonderful processes. And so whatever process you use, you know, to send it into these, when you hear the news about sad things going on, send the energy there to all the people that are possible in the area and the earth itself. I think, couldn't say it better than what you said earlier about a quote from Rosemary, we got to pay the rent. Being here as a citizen on this planet, it is expected of us.
Yes, it is.
Well, folks, the hands of the clock are moving quickly. Our phone number here is 877-876-5227. We've had a couple calls where people have asked for some healing, Caroline, and some people, rather than calling on the phone and discussing something personal, might wish to call you directly for a private reading. How about giving your phone number out again?
Okay. My phone number is 540-586-2401. I'm on the East Coast, and I work from 9 until 5 on from Monday through Friday. Why am I struggling with the days this week?
I don't know, dear.
I don't know either. I don't know. Isn't that interesting? So anyway, please call me if you feel that I can help. I'll be happy to. I do schedule about a week or anywhere from a week to 10 days out. So call me and we'll see what we can do. God is always happy to heal somebody. And Carolyn, tell me about your website.
Yes, my website is www.carolynevers.com, CarolynEvers.com. There's a lot of marvelous books there that have been dictated to me by the different masters. There are the conference calls. There is the Akashic reading that we do. Also, there is an ebook that I offer on the website that is free. You can just go to the website and download it. It is a story of how the path that I followed to do the work that I do today. We'll talk about that later after we find out about this listener and your name, please.
Oh, hello, Carolyn. This is Marcia, Marcia McMahon, just calling in to say hi to you, dear.
Hi, Marcia. Good hearing from you, dear.
Yes, Happy New Year to you. I like your thoughts there that you were sharing about being made aware of areas of conflict in the world, and it resonates with my work with Diana. So I just thought I'd call in and say hi, and I also wanted to ask if I could have Caroline do a little healing on me, if that'd be all right.
Caroline?
Well, certainly.
So, Carolyn, thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. I appreciate that, too.
Yes, peace is an important thing on Earth right now, isn't it?
Oh, goodness, yes. And I know we're all doing what we can in our own ways to affect the situation. The violet flame is one thing. I work with Diana and her messages, you know, and political processes, and so each of us has our gifts, but I enjoy tuning into your show always, and it's wonderful to connect to you again, Carolyn.
Why, thank you, dear. And what can Caroline help you with?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've been having a headache and kind of a sore throat, and I feel like I'm under a virus or something. I don't know. I just wondered if she would mind doing a little healing energy on me today. Caroline?
Yes, I'll be happy to tell you what God is going to do.
Well, bless
you. Let's see here. We'll start out with your head. Are you having a sinus problem?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see here. What he's going to do is shine his golden light inside of each one of your sinus cavities so that we'll do the right side first and then the left side so that that dries up some of your congestion that's in there. Now the left side. And you're also feeling some tightness up above your sinuses, right?
Yeah, I've got a real headache and it doesn't feel good at all. I don't know what it is. I've been doing my job. I host another show here. I do a lot of reading and then I teach at a university, and I do a lot of reading with that. I've been reading all day, and it's like, you know, oh, my head.
Okay. Now, I'm sure you're aware of the change in energy and how intense this energy this month has been. That has caused almost everybody's called me and told me they have a headache. And
today, you mean?
Oh, no. I mean in the last couple of weeks. And So everybody's going through changes in their in their head, and there are tissues in the head and the brain, and that's causing you to have a headache. So just relax and close your eyes, and let's see if we can turn the intensity down there. Okay, God's also telling me to tell you not to stress out.
Oh, okay.
To relax and do your things that you need to do with joy and trust.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's all going to work out fine. Doesn't seem like it's the moment, but it's going to be, this too shall pass.
Well, thank you, Caroline. I appreciate that.
Okay, now you said you had a sore throat as well?
Yeah, a little bit of one.
Well, that's, oh, okay. The opening going down into your sinuses, from your sinuses into your throat is partially closed, so. And use that golden light to open that up so that you have better circulation in your sinuses. Okay, and I will, this is not a commercial, but I will recommend that you gargle with Listerine twice a day. It makes a huge difference when you're having sinus problems.
Oh, okay.
And it isn't bad for your teeth either. So swish it around in your mouth and then gargle and then spit it out. So if you'll do that twice a day, particularly before you go to bed, that way you won't wake up and your throat feels really dry and scratchy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's looking
thank
a
you
lot
so
better.
Much, Caroline.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you
appreciate
for calling.
Appreciate it now.
All
well,
right.
Thanks to both of you. Thank you for your work, both of you.
Thank you,
Marcia.
All
have
right.
a better day, dear.
Oh, thank you, dear. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, there might be new people who haven't been tuned into us before, Caroline, give the people a little thought as to how God works with you. You know, you mention about how you go in and God shows you something. Can you give people a little visual of how that works?
Okay. I don't know how visual this will be.
Well,
but
describe, like, what you're seeing.
Well, I'm medical intuitive, and what that means is that I can see inside the body. And if somebody calls in and they ask me, for instance, to work on their headache, God will show me the sinuses, or he will show me the ear canals, or he'll show me some part of the brain that may be stressed out at the moment, or whatever is causing the headache. It may be a strain, or, you know, there are lots of different things. I never know what he's going to show me. I just ask him to show me what it is, and then I describe it to the person. And then God actually does the work. I am the witness to the work. I can describe it to the person that is having the healing work done because I can see what's going on. But it's God who does the healing. And I facilitate it in the sense that I ask him to show me what's going on. But I don't actually do the healing work myself. It's not me inside somebody's head doing the healing on their headache. It's actually God in there, and I am seeing what's being done, and so I describe it to them. It's kind of like God said when I asked him one time about why he needed me. He said, well, if there's not a witness, then the work has not taken place. That's the way most people view healing, that somebody has to see what's going on. So when your doctor operates on you and cuts you open and takes out your appendix, he witnesses the fact that he's cutting you open and taking out your appendix. So it's gone. So then it is real. And that has to be the way it works when I heal somebody. Somebody in that dimension has to see it and witness that the work has taken place. So that's basically what I am. I'm a witness to the healing taking place. I do when people come here, because I am also a Reiki master. I do sometimes do Reiki on people or touch them in particular ways when they need that energy from God that comes down through me and out through my hands as a Reiki practitioner. So there are lots of different ways that the healing work takes place. And I'm not somebody who just uses one part of it. I feel it taking place. I see it taking place. And usually God's talking to me and telling me what's happening. So I'm using all of those senses when I'm doing the healing work. And my best title for it is Healing with God's Love, because it is the love of God.
That is exactly what I had in mind. I appreciate you giving that explanation.
Okay, good.
You know, that kind of brings to mind what you told me in the past about, you were talking about Jesus' miracles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how that was working, and God suggested that you go to the Bible and research the Yeshua's miracles. You know the story I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah. Did you want that, too?
Yes. Well, we don't
okay.
have a caller right now, and I think okay. it's an interesting story.
Well, I was seeing the healing work happen so quickly. And so one day after somebody had left, I was sitting down in meditation and again and just waiting to hear what God had to say to me. And he said, you have a question. And I said, you know, I actually do. Why do you need me? I mean, you're the one that's doing the healing. So why do you need me? And he said, well, go over there and pick up the New Testament and read each one of the places where Jesus healed. So I did, and luckily I had a guide to all of that sort of stuff. So I went and found each place where Jesus had healed. And except in the case of Lazarus, in the New Testament, Jesus usually asked each individual person, do you believe? And then he would touch them, and then he would sometimes explain, or whoever had written the book in the New Testament would explain what he had done, like in the case of the blind man when he got some dirt and spit on it and rolled it up into a sort of a ointment and put it on his eyes, and then the blind man could see. So he said, now, what do these things have in common? And I said, well, obviously Jesus asked, do you believe? And then I said, in every case there was a witness. I said there were always people around that with Jesus who witnessed the healing taking place. And he said, that's correct. That's what you are. You are the witness to the healing taking place. The healing takes place within that framework, and without you, if somebody just walked up to some person and that person was by themselves and touched them, if there wasn't a witness to it, that person might not believe that they could be healed. But there is somebody other than the person who's being healed who witnesses the healing taking place. And so I was very pleased to know that that was what my role was, you know. And then another time he told me about, you know, you're also a facilitator, because if they don't call you for the healing work, then the healing's not going to take place through you. So, you know, and since you've opened yourself up to being able to heal people and to doing this as your work, you are also a facilitator of the healing. So I was like, okay. So
I think that's a beautiful story.
It is. I really was very humbled by that,
mm-hmm.
and very also enjoy. I have to admit that after I'm through with on the radio with you, and when I've been working with somebody, I usually just kind of kick up my heels in joy, and if I could jump up in the air and click my heels together, I would do that because it's so joyful to do it.
It is. It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
Before the last caller called, I was telling people about a free ebook I had written, and it's on the website at carolynevers.com. And the story starts out from the very beginning when my awareness of the spirit world began and how all of that developed. I think sometimes people see someone doing their work and it's like, gee, I'm not sure they were a regular person at one time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine them being mothers, housewives, taking care of children and doing all the things. How did they get from there to where they are right now? And that is what this ebook is about. And when my son died, it was a very great tragedy in my life. And so the book starts there. And we all have a tragedy in our life. And when tragedies are very difficult, one of two things, it seems to me, is going to happen. We are either going to be much stronger for the experience, we're going to learn how to survive in some fashion, or we're going to give in to it and allow it to destroy us. And so that is what I consider the dark night of the soul. And, you know, we all go through those dark nights of the soul. I thought it was a terrible, terribly sad thing that had come to us when my son died, only to find out later that this was prearranged.
Right.
It was prearranged, and he works on the other side with me. I'm here. He works on the other side. He's acting as my guide. Who else could I better trust than the son that I brought into the world? So he directs those who wish to use my resources, as Pope John Paul says, the telephone. He calls me the telephone.
Right.
So, yes, my son is there, and he allows those to pass through and come to me and work with me, you know, who are on that level, who should be working with me, and not some beings in the astral plane that have no business using my telephone. So the interesting story about that is, so many times I do believe that out of tragedy can come something very beautiful if you allow it to work in that fashion. And if you don't allow it to embitter you. And those kind of challenges, you know, everybody's had their own challenge. It might not be in the same fashion that I had my challenge, but you've all had your challenge. And we all have to find a way to get through it with grace and ease and faith, even if we go through a period of time where we're questioning everything. And that was what I went through. I questioned everything. I wanted to know where my son was, what it was like on the other side. I had been taught by my religion as to what to expect when you go to the other side, but it was like I wanted to know, I needed to know that he was safe. And so I spent several years in trying to find him. And when I did is when all of this other work started. It's a most incredible story. You can go to my website, download the free ebook. I've done it. I've written this for many reasons. First of all, I think the story itself is an interesting story, but I think it has a parallel in everyone's life because we've all been there and we've had our own challenges, and we all have to find a way to move past them. And when you do, you know that you can face anything.
You do. And you really do have to take the in order to make a tragedy turn into something positive, you have to be able to walk through it and come out on the other side determined to find what the reason was for this tragedy to have happened and be able to turn it into a positive thing for yourself.
Well, it's very true. I also think that what I was able to find, I think, is available to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
We're able to find out about our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to receive messages from them. We're able to have this understanding if we allow it. Well,
yes,
we are here up to the end of the hour real fast. Caroline, give your phone number before we leave. We have like a half a minute.
Okay. My phone number is 540-586-2401. And I'm on the East Coast.
My website, www.carolynevers.com. Join us for the end of the month for our conference call with Yeshua. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Goodbye for now, folks. And thank you, Caroline. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. I enjoyed it.
Talk to you in 2 weeks, dear.
All righty. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.